Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
30 issues in 30 days. Issue 24.
I want to ride my
Issue 24, bike lanes and the mayoral race.
Less than 1% of New Yorkers commute to work by bike. We're rolling out new bike lanes, we're rolling out new bike designs, and we're working very closely with the real estate board to get indoor bike parking accomplished in many commercial buildings.
That was Mayor Bloomberg's Transportation Commissioner, Jeanette Sadiq Khan, speaking last year. But if Bill Thompson is making few specific promises as he runs against Bloomberg, here's one of them. Remove the new bike lane on Grand Street on the Lower East Side. Joe Ferrara, owner of the Italian cafe Acqua Dolce, says he'll vote for Thompson specifically for that reason.
There was community hearings about bike lanes, and all the merchants here and the tenants went against it. Just like the term limits ran against it, but did it anyway.
And it's more than just Grant Street. In a mayoral primary debate this summer, Thompson said this about the proliferation of bike lanes in the city in general over the last few years.
And I think I favor bicycle lanes. However, you're hearing a complaint all across the city of New York because communities have not been consulted. They've been ignored. Bicycle lanes have been dropped upon them, and there has been no discussion. That's wrong, and that shouldn't continue.
So bicycle lanes and the pedestrian malls at Times Square and Herald Square have become an issue in the mayoral race, a nanny state issue as the critics see it. Let's talk about it with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, who's been following this. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, Brian.
Tell us more about the Grand Street bike lane. Why has that one in particular become a flashpoint?
Well, the Grand Street bike lane, for those who've never seen it, goes all the way from west to east. It starts right around the Holland Tunnel, and it goes all the way basically to the Manhattan Bridge. And it is a protected bike lane. So there's a green bike lane right next to the curb. Then there's a little buffer zone, and then there's a line of parking. So if you are riding your bike, you are protected from the traffic, which is, of course, a big goal of bicyclists and is how most other large modern urban cities, say in Europe, do it. They have protected bike lanes.
And one of the very few protected bike lanes in New York.
Right. I mean, it is one of the very few. I mean, there's one on 9th Avenue that was one of the sort of more, one of the earlier ones. And they're just putting in one now on Sand Street in Brooklyn, leading up to the Manhattan Bridge from sort of Fort Greene, Brooklyn Navy Yard area, which is actually a double protected bike lane in the middle of the street, which it is a mess getting onto the Manhattan Bridge. So,
which sounds great if you ride a bike. Here, however, is a disgruntled delivery truck driver named Ming Lee, who complained about the division between bike lane and street on Grant Street.
The bike lane, make a street smaller, and here is a lot of commercial truck, and they cannot make a delivery no more.
So Ming Lee talking to WNYC News.
Right. WNYC's Matthew Sherman and Richard Yeh have been spending some time out on Grand Street to try to sort of gauge the community feeling. And there certainly is an irritation among merchants because, no question, Grand Street is now has less space for traffic. You can't double park anymore on Grand Street without completely blocking the flow of traffic. And in this intensely commercial area, particularly in Chinatown, sort of east of Broadway and east of Lafayette Street, there are a lot of small merchants there. The more western side, there tend to be sort of bigger stores. You're in Soho. But clearly the issue here is that the Bloomberg administration has taken upon itself to restructure the way people think about roads. Roads are not just things for cars to pass through in the Bloomberg administration. Roads are a way to get places, whether you are a driver, a pedestrian, and a bicyclist. And absolutely, necessarily, if you're turning over space to pedestrians and bicyclists, you're taking it away from cars. And that is a very jarring experience in many cases.
So people don't usually call in unless I say, the phones are open and the number is 212. People are calling in voluntarily. So we will take a few phone calls. Anybody in the Grand Street area on Grand Street right now have a particular opinion one way or the other about that bike lane? 212-433-WNYC. Or this as an issue, or the larger transportation question as an issue in the mayoral race? 212-433-9696. 9-2. And Gabrielle from Brooklyn writes on our website, I hear that Bill Thompson wants to remove many of the bike lanes. Does your guest know why he proposes to do this and how much sense it makes? In my neighborhood, she doesn't say where in Brooklyn, they had to fix the logistics. Oh, she does. They had to fix the logistics of the Kent Avenue bike lane, and I hear business owners still aren't happy.
Right. The Kent Avenue bike lane in Williamsburg is another one that has gotten a lot of sort of merchant opposition. Now, just to fact check for a moment, Thompson said the Grand Street bike lane was put in with no community input. And actually, the community board, it went through the community board, and the community board approved it. Now, there are allegations that, you know, the vote was packed and there wasn't enough representation, but it did go through a process. It didn't just show up one night, and this is what the City Department of Transportation has been doing. They've been going to community boards with plans. There is a plan, for example, in Brooklyn along Prospect Park to put a double-protected bike lane along the length of the park on Prospect Park West. So, you know, and that was approved by, I think it's Community Board 6 in Brooklyn. There's another one in Upper Manhattan that has recently been approved by the community board. So there is input, but the question is sort of, you know, who is the community and what is the mechanism? And, you know, you sort of, I mean, I know I was on the show and we were talking about the Times Square, closure of Times Square, and that obviously was a sort of radical disruption in people's traffic patterns to close what is essentially 10 blocks of the Great White Way to automobiles and to turn it over to pedestrians. Again, sort of, you know, the streets are sort of part of the city's living room, as it were, something to share rather than a way to get cars from A to B.
A Grand Street bike lane user, Susie in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Brian. I had grand jury duty for the past month, and every day I rode my bike down the east side and then across Grand Street, and it was perfect. Actually, rode both ways.
Which is not legal.
The streets in Chinatown are so narrow that there are just people everywhere, but this was perfect.
Thank you very much. Perfect for the biker. And Andrew,
go ahead. What the Department of Transportation says is that it has actually reduced all injuries, I think, by 30% since the Grand Street bike lane has been put in there. And, you know, I think it's a fascinating dilemma for Bill Thompson because on one hand, he very strongly identifies with principles of the Democratic Party, which have always been to support, you know, biking. It's seen as something that, you know, is good for the environment, to support mass transit. However, there is this movement in the world to sort of reorganize urban space, which has, you know, something that people who generally seem to, you know, who are generally identified on the political left have very much embraced. And the dilemma for Thompson is that so has Bloomberg's transportation commissioner. So you have Thompson in this position of wanting to criticize the Bloomberg administration, but at the same time, in so doing, positioning himself to the right in what some people would see in this sort of public space
issue. Right. You have the Democrat running to the right of the Republican on issues of transportation.
You know, I also just want to say that, you know, I don't know that Bloomberg is a particular fan of bicycling himself. I mean, he is not known as a bicyclist. I mean, Jeanette Sadiq Khan is, and Dan Doktoroff, the former deputy mayor, was someone who biked a lot. But, you know, I have personal experience. During the transit strike, I was biking while I was covering the transit strike and covering the mayor. And at one point, while we were all crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, my bike got tangled up with, you know, some people and, you know, my radio recording equipment, and it fell over. And the mayor sort of looked at me and he said, you know, can't you get rid of that thing, miss? So I have no evidence that he's personally a fan, but he has empowered his transportation commissioner to do these things.
Can't you get rid of that, miss?
And a reporter in the Bloomberg administration, so everyone knows, is always miss. You're miss or sir. You're not, you know, your name.
But to be fair to the merchants, it's not a right or left thing to want your deliveries to be able to be made, right?
Clearly.
So what is a delivery truck supposed to do if you can't stop to make a delivery without completely blocking traffic because there's no more double lane to double parking?
Right. Well, this is clearly an issue that has to be addressed. I mean, you know, what Matthew and Richard found was that some people were parking on the cross streets and then taking a hand truck and bringing their items around. There is still parking on both sides of the street there. It's just that the street lane is narrow, so there's no double parking. And, you know, clearly to have a bike lane in an intense intense commercial activity like that sets up a lot of competition. And, you know, that is something that is, you know, clearly going to happen. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, Thompson is trying to glom onto, that, you know, he says, I am not against these things. I just feel that you have to do them in a way that everybody will embrace them. However, if you look around, you know, the United States and sort of the history of putting in bike lines and changing traffic patterns and so on, you know, they everywhere are resisted because you're asking people to change deeply held patterns. And it's, you know, the Bill Thompson loves to achieve consensus, but this may be one of those issues where you can't make everybody happy all the time.
William on Grand Street. You're on WNYC. Hi, William.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I am for the bike lane, and it's, I want to just reiterate the safety issue. I'm on the east side of Grand Street from the drive to about Essex, which is quite wide. And there used to be two lanes, and it was very unsafe, and it kind of detracted from the kind of urban streetscape. So the walkability now is much better, and I think that is an improvement.
Thank you very much. Sam on Grand Street and Center Street. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
My girlfriend and I have a 6-year-old, and we ride him on our bike with either a bike seat or a tandem bike on the Grand Street bike lane all the time, and it is amazing, and we love it, and really vital for safety's sake when you have a kid with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things, Brian, is that, I don't know if you know this, but your producer, Lisa Allison, found a Facebook page of people who are say they're voting for Bloomberg because of this issue.
Because of Jeanette Sadiq Khan.
Because of Jeanette Sadiq Khan.
Because of the Transportation Commissioner.
Right. But the sort of, you know, on the kind of bicycle networks, everybody, you know, got all fatootsed about this when it came up. And there were people who said, you know, I don't want to vote for Bloomberg, and now I don't know what to do because of this issue of the Grand Street bike lane. And, you know, we should reiterate that, you know, Thompson says he is not opposed to this. But you know, I think it's a legitimate question to ask about, you know, whether, you know, there could be another way to achieve this, you know, these kind of radical restructuring. You know, could you do it through consensus? It's not been tested.
Here, by the way, is one more issue raised to WNYC's Matthew Sherman by Vidal Peoples, manager of the Best Western Bowery Hanby Hotel by Grand Street.
It hasn't been that noticeable. The one thing I would say is I noticed there's a certain disregard to any biking rules or right-of-way to traffic.
Now, I interviewed Jeanette Sadiq Khan recently, and this came up, and I asked her, are you ready to enforce all the laws of traffic on bicycles? And she said yes, but nobody's doing it.
You know, I wouldn't say nobody. I mean, I know of cases where people certainly have been ticketed for running red lights.
Yes,
but I pretty, you know, routinely see bike scoff laws all around the city. And I'm sure that, you know, anybody who opens their eyes does as well. And I think that, you know, clearly one of the things is as bicycles become part of a, you know, bicycles used to be part of this outlaw culture. And I think when you talk to David Byrne later in the show, he'll talk to you about that because he has been, you know, he wrote this book about biking and he's been biking since the 1980s. And he wrote about sort of, you know, we used to be the outlaws, you know, sort of skirting our way between cars. Well, now that there's a bike infrastructure, all of a sudden you're put in a position where, you know, you have to obey the rules too because you have a lane.
But Anthony in Long Island City thinks it's still not safe. Anthony, driving a truck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, how you doing? I think bike lanes are great. But in places like Grand Street and Greenpoint, Brooklyn, we have a lot of commercial truck traffic and narrow streets. It becomes a safety issue. Because bicyclists usually come up alongside a truck. I drive a tractor trailer, and you lose them very easily in your mirrors. So if they want to have bike lanes, which is good for the environment, keeps down pollution, they should put them on separate streets where commercial vehicles do not drive and make delivery.
How about those separated bike lanes we were talking about?
Well, that's a good idea also, but like I said, they shouldn't be on truck mm-hmm. routes. They should be on side streets. Because, you know, cars and trucks get into it all the time. Can you imagine a bicyclist in a truck? You can't see them in your mirrors.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much. And many people can do more than just imagine. Enough people have been in scrapes. And, Anthony, there's a warning from Anthony for all you bike riders out there in major traffic. The double trailer drivers cannot see you that well in their rearview mirrors.
Yeah, that's certainly good to know.
From up in those high cabs. And yet bikers want to ride on the major thoroughfares, because if you're commuting by bike or really trying to get from here to there and using it as urban transportation, that's how you get places.
And sometimes you have no choice. I mean, you can be riding on a bike lane and the bike lane can end, and you have to just, you know, you go into the lanes with the cars. Now, I just, you know, for historical, to just sort of set the historical record straight, I mean, Mayor Bloomberg, for the, you know, first three quarters of it, his administration, had a transportation commissioner, Iris Weinshall, who was sort of much more in the traditional mode of transportation commissioners since the beginning of time in New York, which is, you know, about sort of getting traffic to move more quickly and efficiently. And you, when the issue of congestion pricing came up, I mean, Mayor Bloomberg has been associated with it, but you may remember that he resisted it at first. And he said, you know, New York is not London, and I don't know if it's something we can do. So there's definitely been a shift in his thinking from the time when he came in as mayor, where, you know, I think that he sort of, you know, took a sort of more libertarian approach to the streets, to the end of his term, when, you know, at the very least, he has empowered his transportation commissioner to take a much more activist role towards the division of street space. And, you know, I should add that, you know, this is not something that we're seeing Mayor Bloomberg talk about in his campaign. We're not seeing him make speeches about public space. We're not seeing him, you know, put it in his commercials. But at the same time, he is allowing his transportation commissioner to do all of this. And she always credits the mayor. I mean, it's very interesting. She talks about Mayor Bloomberg wants to do this a whole lot more than Mayor Bloomberg talks about it.
And there you have it. 30 issues in 30 days. Issue 24, Bike Lanes and the Mayoral Race. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. Did you want to add one thing?
I just wanted to add one thing, because we were talking about Thompson's vision, and I have asked his campaign, does he have a comprehensive vision on this? They have not produced evidence, only to say he supports bike lanes in general, so long as there's a community process, as he also has said on the division of Times Square and the other divisions of public space, that he's not opposed to these experiments, but he wants to make sure that everybody is involved and on board.
Andrea, thanks a lot. Tomorrow, issue 25, social issues in the New Jersey governor's race. And still to come this morning, Nina Totenberg, Michael Pollan, and David Byrne. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.